Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. In Sanskrit, the name Satchidananda means everlasting life and blissful joy. Once upon a time, on the beautiful island of Oahu, there lived a little multi-ethnic girl named Satchidananda. She carried a powerful and unique name with a beautiful meaning. Satchidananda, who was also called Satcha for short, would soon come to know that both her name and strength would be put to the test. You see, Satcha did not experience a typical childhood. Her father ruled with an unruly iron fist. She was often locked in closets, starved, and beaten. Tears and blood would flow down her pretty mother's face almost on a daily basis after being beaten. When the beatings became too much to bear, her mother took all four children and found refuge in a broken-down car. One day, Child Protective Services, CPS workers, and police seized all four kids and placed them in the foster care system. Satcha was now in the care of an angry, money-hungry woman. When Satcha was 4 years old, CPS workers soon learned that her foster mom was starving her. She was quickly removed and placed from one hell to another. In her second foster home, Satcha would endure years of sexual abuse, beatings, as well as constant insults made to feel worthless. Through all the struggles and the darkness, Satcha has overcome her trials through prayer and relationship with Christ. She's here to tell us about it. Satcha, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
We talk about the contrast between everlasting life and blissful joy and the hell that you lived in. For a moment, take us back. What was it like for you to grow up in that kind of environment?
It was very confusing. I didn't understand why I was being treated that way. And for most of my childhood, just made to feel worthless. When I would be around my friends or see other families, I always wondered, what did that child do to have a loving mother or father? I just walked around like a zombie, feeling worthless, but I just had this smile that nobody knew the hell behind the smile. I just felt valid around my friends or at school because I took joy in making other people happy. And when I was around them and I would make them laugh, I was also known as a class clown. Mm-hmm. It made me feel worth something, because I always knew going back home what was in store for me. And that's where I feel absolutely worthless.
It's hard for someone to imagine unless they've gone through it. So I'd like for you to describe it for us. But years of sexual abuse, years,
yes,
of beatings.
Yep.
I mean, it's like you're living in another world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come out. Did you ever feel like you were playing a role in the home and out of the home? What goes on in your mind?
It's very surreal in a negative way. And I always say you could make a movie out of my life, because the amount of worthlessness I felt, like, it's sad that any kid or anyone should feel that way. And because at such a young age, I had to endure so much, sadly, I actually started getting used to it. My heart was always broken, but coming home from school, I knew what was waiting for me at home. The sexual abuse, the put downs, the beatings, all of that. So when your self-worth is stripped away and you're told that you're nothing and you're worthless, called a little whore as a little girl, you know, innocent girl. When you're called all that, you begin to believe that, you know, and when you're outside of your home at church or at school, you just grab anything you can to give you strength for like the next day or just the next moment. And I was blessed enough to have awesome teachers in elementary and high school that always said a kind word to me. Even Hanai, family at my church who just showed me kindness and told me I was beautiful. You know, those people I'll never forget, because they had no idea what they were doing for me, this little foster girl who was going through so much and just being themselves, you know.
Did anybody know?
Nobody knew what I was going through. Nobody knew. There were two teachers in elementary that I was really close to that I actually wanted to tell because they were so kind to me and so nice and always asking me how I was doing. They were both aware that I was in foster home, but they didn't know what it was that I was going through. And then again, in high school, I wanted to tell. But, you know, I was always afraid. Anytime I opened my mouth, you know, I'd get beating. One particular time we had CPS workers come over because my foster parents were always foster parents of the year. They had a total of 100 something foster kids rotate throughout their home. One of the first settlers in Waianae Valley. So they had this reputation. And here I am, just this foster girl, right? So they came over. As they're getting older in years, they were getting interviewed to get more foster kids. And one of the CPS workers pulled me aside and told me, "This is confidential. This is just between me and you. I want you to tell me, do you think that more foster kids should come through the home? Don't worry about it. I won't say anything." And I said, "Okay, well, no," because she hits, she beats me. She says mean things. Like, it's not just a spanking if you're naughty. You get beat, you know, and you're just made to feel really junk. So I don't want another girl to go through that. Well, when I came home from school, I got beatings because the CPS worker told her everything that I said.
Broke your trust.
Broke my trust. So I didn't trust anybody and I kept it a secret. And there was so much fear instilled in me. I was so insecure, the most insecure person. And so I just grabbed a hold of anything I could, a smile, someone who said something kind to me throughout the day. And that's what I would go off of for the rest of the day. But in general, I was very insecure.
How many years? How many years was all this going on?
Well, my second foster home was from the age of 4 till 18.
14 years?
Mm-hmm. And it was a big secret. No one believed. I mean, not no one believed, but I wouldn't tell anyone because I was afraid no one would believe.
Mm-hmm. How did you make it through?
I can only say it is by the grace of God. Growing up in my second foster home, my foster mom was the superintendent of the church, one of the pillars of the church. And in my second foster home is where I learned about Jesus. And yet, that's where I was being so abused. So they didn't live what they were actually teaching me.
We're talking about beatings.
Yes.
I mentioned sexual abuse.
Yes.
Expand on that a little bit more. And the reason I'm saying this is because what is seeming to unfold as a great hypocrisy, and yet through it, spiritual life. So
okay. So as far as that goes, God at a young age allowed me to separate the hypocrisy that was going on in my own home from the church and from God. I never saw her as a reflection of Christ or Christ's character. So I really believe that that's all. Looking for the word. God had a big hand in that because I feel like now as a woman, I should hate God. I should hate the church. I should just, everyone's hypocrites, you know, but at such a young age, I can't even explain it. That's why I believe it's all God, that he allowed me to separate that. That's her. That's this home. This is not what a real relationship with Christ is like, you know.
So beatings.
Beatings.
But then the
abuse. And the sexual abuse. It started I first remember at the age of 8, very vivid in my mind. I did not know what was going on. Not to be graphic, but I remember where it took place. A lot of times when I came home, it was after school when it took place. She would be away at work and my foster dad would be home. And a lot of times I'd hide under the house for hours, sweating. There would be like roaches under the house and everything. I would wait till I hear her school bus come home. She drove a school bus. So when I'd hear that coming down the road, I'd come out really quick and go get to my homework. She was really, really strict about my homework.
Because then you would be protected.
Yeah, because then I know she would come out. Even though she would beat me and put me down, it was better than being sexually, you know, abused. And especially at such a young age, it's really scary. You know, you don't understand what's going on. Why is someone touching my body parts and all this kind of stuff? But then, of course, when she came home and she'd see my clothes dirty, I get beatings for that, like punched in the face constantly and you know, put down. But I never knew how to tell her, like, I was hiding under the house because your husband's trying to touch me in my different places, you know. I never knew how to tell her that because she'd always call me, like, you're just trouble. You know, you're nothing. You're a little liar. So I just never said anything.
This going on at a foster home where you were supposed to feel safe.
Right.
And then also with a church environment. Church yeah. leaders.
Yes.
Well, I would say perhaps you would have every reason to be bitter, angry, yeah. resentful, hateful, and on.
Right.
Having gone through what you've gone through. But I think the power of the testimony is really a marvel to me, Sasha, is the love that you have for Christ. That somehow through all of this, and this is what we need to get back to when we return, how did you separate the two? Someone today might have an experience similar to yours in one way or the other, or maybe very like it. And perhaps they've never shared it with anybody, or maybe are fearful of sharing it. Or maybe if they have, their trust has been broken like yours. Mm-hmm. Had been broken. You are a blessing to so many people today as a flight attendant. Mm-hmm. You have been given a very special personality, and God has blessed you with two boys.
Amen.
Sasha Slade will share more heart to heart with us when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you're getting beat up and you're getting sexually abused. And you're living in a world that you don't know anything else, but you, at some point, perhaps one of the ways that you can escape is just by dreaming, thinking of what could be a possibility. And then you have a glimmer of hope that somehow instilled within your heart that one day, somehow, in a way that you cannot express, you cannot explain how it will happen, that you're going to help other people who are going through what you're going through. Well, that's a story of Sacha Slade. Her name actually is a beautiful Sanskrit name, Sachadananda, which means everlasting life and blissful joy. And you think about the contrast of what she's been through. But if you look at her today and the life that she's living today, well, you can see that God is truly alive. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you're with us today. If you're tuning in right now, you can get this podcast in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Hypocrisy, abuse, beatings, being beaten down physically and with words, sexually. Sacha, how did you make a distinction between growing up in a church where this, not in the church, but a leader family in the church, this is going on, you're keeping this great secret. In fact, you feel nobody will believe you. And yet inside, you still grow close to God. Explain that.
There were two particular women in my life at the church that I was attending in Waianae, Waianae Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is Kimura and Lani Gaboya. And they always made me feel special. They always told me, you're beautiful. I love you. And I didn't have that at home. And I'm like, what do they see in me? You know, how come when I go home, I get treated like that? But what do these women see in me? And every Saturday that I went to church, same thing. You're beautiful. I love you. How was your week? You know, and every Saturday, I look forward to like seeing them. They had no idea what they were doing for me and my soul and my self-worth, you know. But those particular two women, they were very motherly to me, you know. They're very motherly and they showed interest in my life. And I always thought myself, you're just a foster kid. You're worthless. You amount to nothing. I started to believe everything that I was told. But seeing how people would react to me in school, you know, it was my escape. I'd make everyone laugh. And
that was a release for you.
Yeah, it was a release for me. And I just felt like important, you know. Mm-hmm. I love to laugh. It's one of my favorite things besides eating. I love to laugh, but I love to make people happy. I believe is one of my gifts, is making people happy. So that made me feel valid. The two women at my church definitely made me feel important and special from week to week, even though they had no idea what it is that they were doing for me, you know? So I knew that, hey, they go to the church that I go to. They don't treat their kids like that. They're awesome, you know, awesome people. And they love me and they care about me. So it must be just this home, you know, because there were multiple families in Waianae, Seventh-day Adventist Church that treated me very well, you know. And I seen how they treated their kids and everything. So that's one way I knew, like, hey, this is not in every home.
Let's talk about forgiveness. Mm. Did that happen?
Yeah, it actually did.
Because there's no seeming tinge of just angst, you know, and that wanting to get back, you know, sometimes it leaks. If it's in us, it'll come out.
Yeah.
But how did that relate with you?
Well, I can still when I think back now, it sickens me to think that people would take pleasure in sexual abuse or putting a child down or anything like that. It sickens me. But I holding on to all of that made me sick. Like, it's like poison, you know, and I know it's such a cliche, but it didn't do anything for me just to stay angry. I love being happy, you know, and it's part of my name, not just joy, blissful joy. I love being happy. So holding on to all of that, it does not change the past. It doesn't help me in any way, you know. All I could think of is, well, I'm going to use my experience and what I have to help bring healing and restore self-worth and all of this to someone else who's probably been to the same thing or can relate in some way. So both foster parents have now passed away, but I will be very honest. When they both passed, there was a certain sense of sadness, but I think that's just the Christian side of me feeling sad. Mm. But there was no like devastation as if like your biological loving mother or father passed. It was like, well, you know, I never had that love from them. So when they passed away, I was like, well, okay, well, you know, they're resting in peace, but no real overwhelming sadness. But I forgave them for myself. I needed that. That was a huge release when I decided to, you know, forgive him and to forgive her, you know. And again, I can't explain it. That's all God. Because like you said, I should be hating and angry and doing God knows what right now, you know. But it's just when God takes a hold of your life, he can turn the ugliest things into something so beautiful. And, you know, with my past and having my firstborn out of sexual abuse in my second home, you know, I tell him to this day, I don't believe that God put me through it or that he wanted me to be sexually abused and put down. But he definitely equipped me with a heart of a lion, a strong heart, and that fire to give back. Mm-hmm. And I told my son when he was 13 how he was conceived. I wanted him to know the truth instead of hearing the ugly truth from someone else. And I sat him down and we both cried and we had a deep heart to heart. And I let him know how much I love him. And I told him, do you know that I believe God allowed you, you know, I believe he put you in my life, regardless of the circumstances. You know, I said, Mom was so abused and I felt so worthless. Mm-hmm. Had you not come into my life, I guarantee you I would not be alive today. And he knows I, you know, talk to a lot of people and help a lot of people. And I told him, you know, I wouldn't be able to counsel so many people and help so much people if you weren't in my life. So you're not a mistake. You know, how he was conceived was very ugly. But Nicodemus is such a young man of God, such a gentleman, and he's such a blessing, not only to myself, but to so many other people. And so having Nicodemus in my life, you know, I'm not ashamed. I never look at him as a product of sexual abuse, you know. He's a good young man. I believe God allowed him to in my life to keep me alive, because at some point I felt, what's the point of being alive? Like, this is it. This is life. You know, even if you try to be a good person, you know, this is what you get. And having him force me to dig deep and be strong and take care of this other person, someone other than myself, you know, always trying to take care of myself. But when he came into my life, you know, it was just him.
You talked about the ugliness of how it all came about. Mm. What was the time frame of when that happened, the abuse and then the conception? What stage of life was that for you? Oh. What were you hoping? Where did you want to go? And then this happens.
This was actually a huge blow for me. When I was young in high school, I had aspirations of modeling, and I just knew I was going to be with my auntie in Burbank. You know, I always told her, I'm going to come with you in Burbank and I'm going to start modeling and I'm going to do all of that. And I had scouts calling, you know, so I just thought 6 more months of this and I'm out of here. You know, I was senior in high school. I didn't even need to go to school, really. I needed a half a credit left, but I would go all day just to, you know, escape my what was at home, what was waiting for me. So I'd go to school, 12th grade year, and I just thought 6 more months and I'm out of here. I'm going to go to California. Well, I started getting sick and throwing up every morning at school, and I'm wondering, what is wrong with me? Being so naive, thinking, well, I'm not sleeping around and doing everything. I'm not going to be pregnant, you know. But being sexually abused, you know, that could still happen. Well, when I found out that I was actually pregnant, it was a huge blow for me. All my spark, any happiness that I had, it was killed. People at school could tell by my countenance that all the light out of me is just left. I was like a zombie. I wasn't happy. I had nothing to hope for. I just thought I was going to be just this homeless person on the side of the street, and no one's going to love me, and nothing's going to happen good for me in my life, and I'm just going to take care of this baby. CPS is probably just going to take it away. All these horrible thoughts, you know? I just had no hope left. And so it was right before I was ready to graduate, and when it happened to me one last time, I actually got pregnant from that. And I thought I was just doomed, you know. So it was my senior year that I actually got pregnant, and I still graduated.
You still graduated.
Cum laude. Yeah.
Cum laude. Wow.
But yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, it speaks of the gift of intellect that the Lord has given.
Mm.
I think it's quite obvious just listening to you and having gone through all that you've gone through. But the spark of life being snuffed out.
Mm.
You know, today, during certain seasons of the year, people either slump back to that snuffed out place through a recollection.
Sure.
Or even through a moment where they're facing a reality, like right now. At this moment, I wonder, Sacha, if in that period you wondered if there was any hope. I see you nodding your head, shaking your head. When we come back, I'd like to you to share with us how you found hope through that. I know Nicodemus is a blessed boy. And so is your son, Zion.
Yes.
More with Sacha Slade. Heart to Heart with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a Slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, if you looked at her and you talked to her, you'd say, wow, my goodness, she must have had a charmed life, a Hello Kitty life, a princess life, where somebody was probably telling her every single day that she was a princess. Well, if you listen to her story, you know that's not the case. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm speaking about Sacha Slade. Hey, you know what? At the Good Life, our heart really is to bring you, our dear listeners, closer to Jesus Christ. And that's really why she's here. She's experienced the love of Jesus and has been able to endure all that she's gone through because of her relationship with Christ. And we just want you to know that you too can experience what it means to be loved by God and to have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, who loved you so much. He died on the cross for your sins.
Amen.
He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And
Amen.
The living Christ lives in and through Sacha Slade. And there's a vibrance, a radiance that she possesses because she has been enveloped by the love of God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you can too, my friend. And so go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can find out more about what it means to have a relationship with God through Christ. Go ahead and click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special message for you there. Sacha, take us back. How did you become a Christian? How did you experience Christ in a personal way?
In a personal way, there's no particular moment that I had. It kind of, just going through all the struggles, the people that he placed in my life, even still, no matter what I go through, he puts the most amazing people in my life to push me forward. When I moved out of my foster home and Nick was very young, I had this one friend. Her name is Princess. She was like my auntie, sister, cousin, mother, everything. And she taught me a lot about being a woman, and she taught me a lot about self-worth. And that's something I'll never forget. But she was in my life for a long time, and she helped me become the woman that I am today.
What did she say?
She just treated me. She knew my story. Yeah, she knew my story, and she just took me under her wings. Not because of that. We're both kind of silly, and we love to laugh, you know? And we worked at a golf course. We worked at a golf course together, and she knew I was very naive, you know, and probably kind of enamored by that. And the more she kept asking questions, the more she got to know me, and I was just drawn to her. She's so pretty, and, you know, she was like a sister I never had. So we were just really drawn to each other. And we just loved to laugh. We laughed about the silliest things all day long in the pro shop. But just outside of work, she taught me how to cook. Mm-hmm. She taught me how to cook, how to be confident, you know, just everything.
How did she teach you how to be confident?
She would just tell me, like, you look good. You're beautiful. I never knew how to accept a compliment. When people would tell me, you're beautiful, I'd be like, oh, no, you know, I just never
blush,
knew how to.
Yeah. Put your head down.
Yeah. I couldn't look at people in the eye. It's still, you know, still young, so still battling with self-worth. And I think we all do from time to time. Mm-hmm. I still do here and there, you know, but she would just tell me, like, you're beautiful. She would actually point out qualities of myself. And I'd be like, oh, well, yeah. Oh, cool. Thank you. You know, she tried to get me to focus on the positive things about me. She always hugged me. She's very affectionate. She always hugged me. She always just listened. She'd ask me questions and I'd just vent to her about everything. And she'd just listen, you know. So that was my younger years before. Yeah, that was my younger years when I just left, moved out of the home. And then in my adulthood, my best friend Rufus, well, there's so much that happened between Princess and Rufus, but a lot of crazy things happened as I got older. And I went through a divorce, but I was pregnant with my second child. Coming back to Oahu, being a foster kid, there's not, you know, family that I could actually go to help me. But lots of Hanai people who love me and Nicodemus. When he came back, Rufus actually took me in while I was pregnant, and me and Nicodemus, and he let us stay there for about a year and a half. But him taking me in, it just showed me, like, God's love. Like, that's a lot to do, you know. He's my friend, not my boyfriend, nothing like that. We actually grew up together. He actually grew up with me in the YNA Seventh-day Adventist Church, mm-hmm. and it was his mom, Carol, who was one of the ladies that I said, always told me, you're beautiful. Like, you have something special about you. She always said those things to me. And I'm like, what do you see, lady? You know, mm-hmm. but it's her son, Rufus. Anyway, so as adults, you know, I come back, I'm going through a divorce. I have Nicodemus. I'm pregnant. I have nowhere to go. We have no money, you know, and he just takes me in and he says, you know, you stay here as long as you need to. And Nick had his own room. I had my own room. And just through all of that happening, like, stuff like that doesn't just happen, you know. So it's the people that God placed in my life, all through my life, that shows me, like, he's there, you know. He's got us covered, you know. And that's what made me, like, cling to God more and more and more, like, through everything that you go, every dark hole. He always pulled me out of every dark hole, you know. Even if I'm an emotional wreck, he plays someone either in my day, or even my own kids will say something to me that will bring me back to him. You know, there's just a certain peace that I find whenever I walk with Christ, you know. And not to say I'm far from perfect, but when I choose to follow him, there's just a certain peace where everything around you could just be falling down around you. And you just still feel a certain calm that you have because you know that, you know, Christ has you.
Did you ever, in your dark moments, mm-hmm. did you ever contemplate just giving up?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I did. When I was 16, and I had told my foster mom, like, finally tried to reveal to her that I was being sexually abused because she was the one beating me and putting me down. And it was my foster dad and one of their family members who was sexually abusing me. When I tried to tell her, I thought, you know, she was going to, like, help me. And she turned around, took me in the backyard and said, you know, Sacha, you're just trouble. She's like, you need to do yourself a favor and you need to do everyone else a favor. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, yeah, what is it? She told me, you need to go ahead and just kill yourself. Just kill yourself. At that point, I just felt so worthless. And I attempted to. I attempted suicide. I ended up in the hospital for almost a week. I overdosed on some of their medication. And I should be mentally retarded today. The amount of what I took, I should not be functioning today. But so I believe that is a blessing from God. So that was the first time I ever contemplated that. And two other times in my adulthood where I just thought, like, this is just too much. Life is just too hard. You know, you try to be positive, you try to be strong. All my life I've been fighting. I'm tired. And that's something, you know, even through recent months, I felt like, wow, God, I'm just so tired. I'm just tired, you know. But you know, he just gives me the strength, you know, and being able to give back and to help other people and hear other people's stories and tell them, you know what, I know how you feel, and really mean it. You can look them in the eye and say, I know how you feel. I've been there. And, you know, it's not to make it about myself, because I don't want pity or applause, but to sit down with them, hold their hand and look them in the eye and talk to them and, you know, let them know how God has helped me.
Hold someone's hand today. Satya Slade reaches her hand out to you, dear friend. And would you embrace her hand and hear what she has to say? If you feel like you're tired, you feel like you're discouraged, you've tried so many times, and you've been knocked down again and again, whether it's you sabotage yourself or someone else, it's just you never can seem to get a grasp on life. Satya, somebody feels like that. What would you say?
Dig deep. Dig deep. You got this. You are here for a divine purpose. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Don't take it away from yourself. You're here. Take time to just breathe. Take a deep breath. Say a prayer. God hears your prayers. You know, put yourself around positive people. Put yourself around a positive environment. That helps so much. You know, it's easy to self-loathe and to wallow, but that's not going to do anything for you. You know, just dig deep. You're equipped for it.
When you say it's important to be around positive people, what do you mean?
Oh, the people who lift you up. The people who are not just around when you're doing good and happy, but the people who check on you, the people who encourage you to be a better person, you know, people who inspire you to come up higher, just be around positive environment, and people who love you enough to be honest with you. And it's not going to just tell you everything that you want to hear or just, oh, poor thing. You know, sometimes I have those friends and I appreciate them. If I'm having a rough time, you know, they're there to give me a word of inspiration and to hear what I'm going through, but they are not shy. They'll keep it real and they'll tell me, well, you were probably wrong when you said this or when you did this, or maybe here's a solution that you could, you know. So it's not just be around people who tell you what you want to hear and stroke your ego, but people who make you want to be a better person.
Let's continue this part, Satya. You know, I just think someone may be saying to you, Satya, you don't know what I look like right now. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know. I mean, I am just so down. I want you to speak more. And let's stay as you are. Very positive person. I think we should be positive, because our Lord is the Lord of the resurrection.
Amen.
And we need resurrection talk. I need resurrection talk. We do. And you can share some of that with us, because you're living a resurrected life.
Amen.
With your boys and what you're doing today. More about resurrection life today with Satya Slade. Okay, stay with us now. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So, you know, just to carry on the conversation that we had before the break, look, there might be someone today, I wonder. They didn't go to work. Maybe you didn't go to work today because you said, you know, I just can't make it. I can't make it. And there you are, you know, you didn't comb your hair. Maybe you didn't even brush your teeth. You know what I mean? You're just no makeup on, you're just blah. And you hear Satya Slade. You hear that there's hope. Well, there really is hope because, hey, all of us get disheveled sometimes because on the inside, there's a pall or a quell or a swell of darkness that comes over us and we might just lose our way. And you may be a spiritual leader. You may be someone that everyone looks up to and you're saying to yourself, if they saw me now, people would just be confused. But you know what? That's why God sends Satya into our studio and into this broadcast. That's why you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. You can get this whole program, by the way, at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So you're holding someone's hand now, Satya. Continue to speak to this disheveled, broken, lost person.
Okay. Well, you know, we've all had moments. Lights out, fetal position, don't want to talk to anyone in the corner of your room, self-loathing. I've been there, you know, and don't do that to yourself. Don't. It's okay to hurt. We're human, you know, and I think it's healthy to go through your feelings, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Get up, go wash your face, go out, get some sunlight, you know. In order to move forward, you really do need to dig deep and put yourself in some kind of positive environment. Just take a step. God will help you with the rest. Not to say that's going to be so easy, you know. Life is a beautiful struggle, but get up out of bed. You don't have to put on makeup or brush your hair. Just step outside your door. Mm. You know, God will send someone. Take a moment just to breathe deep and whisper a little prayer. If you can't say anything, God knows your heart. Just say, God, help me. Mm-hmm. God, I need you. Abba, Father, He's there. He hears everything. And with the billions of people in this world, you are so special to Him, and He genuinely, truly cares about what you're going through. Just say, just whisper a prayer to Him, you know, and just know that there's so many other people going through the same struggle as you are right now. But today it changes. Today you're going to make a conscious decision to not wallow in it. And although it might be hard and you might not know how it's going to turn out, like, will you just take this moment, just for this moment, to put your faith and your trust in God? If you have nothing left to give, God will take care of you. He has you. Just take a deep breath. Go wash your face. Get in a car, go for a drive. Maybe go sit at the beach or just sit on your porch, you know. God will send someone your way. The same way that He loves me and He's put amazing people in my path, He will do the same for you. But you got to put yourself out there. If you're in your room and in your fetal position, lights off, no one knows you're there, it's going to be harder to meet someone that could hold your hand or maybe help you or just give you that smile or that push that you need. Put yourself in the position that God can just put people in your path.
Prayer. Have people prayed for you, Sacha, throughout your life?
All the time. And I believe that with all my heart, this is the prayers of my true friends that really has helped me with my attitude, with the way I see things. Even now I have prayer warriors, and I am not ashamed to ask for prayer. We all need prayer.
Someone says, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me today? Can you pray for me right now?
Absolutely. Father God, we know that you see us, Lord, and we are hurting, and so many of us are broken, and we are confused, and we don't know why, Lord. But in this very moment, we're calling on your name, and we just need you. We need to feel you, Lord. We understand that our relationship with you is not based on feelings, but sometimes we just need to feel you. Will you just do something for us today just because you can, Lord? We just need that extra push, that extra hug, that extra smile, Lord. We are your children, and there is nothing too big or too shocking for you to handle, Lord. Mm-hmm. We just ask you to wrap your arms of love around us and give us hope and give us the strength that we need just for today, for tomorrow will take care of itself, Lord. Thank you for being such an awesome and mighty and loving and personable God. Yes. Amen.
Amen. I wonder if you have thought of expanding in your message, expanding your words of encouragement, maybe getting it to more people. I wonder if there are those students throughout the school system that are going through some pretty rough, perhaps some hypocritical situations in their own life, and it's hard to express what they're going through, but maybe you could help one of these in a grand way. Have you ever thought of that?
Absolutely.
Sacha?
It's my fire. It's been my fire since I was a little girl. On a particular ride home, I always said that if I live past 21 and I become an adult and all of this, someday I'm going to give back. And that fire has never, it's never been put out despite everything I've been through. And I pray to God that he will allow me to be able to speak in public schools or any way that I can to restore help and restore self-worth and give hope, a renewed hope. And I want to help adults and children. My fire is really for our youth, our keiki of Hawaii. You know, there are so many girls and boys being molested right now as we speak. There are so many kids going home to abuse and being told how worthless they are. I mean, I would love to, on a larger scale, be able to talk to these children and empower them and encourage them not to accept that, not to believe that they are worthless, that they are here for a divine purpose, and to fight for the rest of their lives, you know, not physical fights, but mm-hmm. To dig deep and to fight for the rest of their lives. You know, I don't want them to give up on themselves. They're so precious, you know. And my hope is that I can start speaking in public schools or private schools or wherever the Lord leads, you know, and be able to look these kids in the eye. And especially sexual abuse, it strips you of any kind of worth. I want to look at these beautiful girls, our beautiful keiki. I want to look them in their eyes and say, you know what? That's not okay. And you don't deserve it. And it is not your fault. There's so many years I walked around thinking like, well, this is my lot in life. And you almost kind of accept it. And you think it's your fault because this is what's being drilled into your mind, you know, when this is happening. And there's so much shame, you know. But they should not be ashamed. The people who are doing this should feel ashamed, you know. So I just want them to know that they're worth so much.
I wouldn't be surprised if people, without even knowing your story, that they open up to you. I bet they're, I would imagine that there's people that tell you things and you're thinking, wow, they are like opening up. I wonder who they've told these secrets to.
Yes.
But for some strange reason, we know it's the Lord using you.
Amen, yeah.
There's a trust that's there because of the brokenness that you've gone through. You may never have said it, but there's a sense. I hope and pray that the Lord will open up doors for you to do just that. Maybe this is a launching pad. Okay, maybe this is a starting point for you to, God has opened a door to elevate to another level. Yes. And may God use you. May God use you cum laude. in the mind and the clarity and then the radiance that you have, such a Slade. And by the way, with a name like that, goodness, I mean, that's like the sound of a movie star or a model. What a great brand of someone, though, really, on a serious note, to bring a message of gravity, of hope that is found in Jesus. A parting shot. We've got about a minute left. Maybe to a young person, or maybe to somebody who is tuning in right now and saying, man, I need an encouragement. What would you say?
Don't let go of that. That fire that you have, don't let go of it. You know, don't let anyone take it from you. Hold on to it. You know, morning devotions definitely help. It's a good start of your day. Stay around positive people. Don't stop praying. Surround yourself with positive, you know. Just keep pushing. Don't give up. You never know what the future has in store for you, what God has in store for you. And you're definitely someone's blessing. So don't ever walk around feeling that you're worthless. You're definitely someone's blessing.
What do you say often to Nick and Zion, your boys? What message does mom give to them on a regular basis?
Well, I'm always telling them how much I love them and how God gave them to me. I'm always telling them to make good choices. And of course, I get that look when I drop them off at school. But just instilling in them to have a strong relationship with Christ. Because if they know who they are in Christ, they can walk confidently, not in a cocky way, but they know who they belong to. And they can be more secure with their decisions and what they allow in their life and choices that they make. So I'm just always encouraging positive attitude, you know, not be aware of what's going on around you. Acknowledge whatever negative, but don't hold on to that. Don't dwell. Don't wallow. Move forward.
Well, there you have it from Sacha Slade herself, one who has gone through much and the Lord has taken her through. And today, a hope bringer, a hope deliverer in the name of Christ. And that's what our desire has been. And that's hoping that you would be encouraged by what she has had to share today. And you know what, my friend? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so yourself, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation to our ministry, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new has begun. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Sacha Slade. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.